Today's shir is Masechta Nedarim, Daf Ches, and we will begin on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, the last words of the Amud. It says the Mar Vamar of Gidla Marav, Menayish Nishbon L'Kaimus HaMitzvah. From where do we know that somebody can make a shvua to fulfill a mitzvah? That if somebody says, I'm going to make a shvua that I'm going to eat matzah, Pesach by night, how do we know that it's a valid mitzvah? I'm going to sit in the sukkah, I'm going to take the aluminum. Shnemar, the pasuk says, Nishbati v'kaima lishma mishpatei tzekecho. The Torah says, the David HaMelech says, that I make a shvu l'kaim to fulfill mishpatei tzekecho. So I saw that the Sefer Oruch Yisharim explains. We know that throughout Shas, there's a rule, God l'hametzuvim oisa, that somebody who is obligated to do a mitzvah is considered a higher madrega than somebody who's not obligated to do a mitzvah. And the reason is, and because at first glance, it's not something that's easily understood. If somebody is in a mitzvah vaisa, somebody is not obligated to do a mitzvah, and he still does it, isn't that to be considered a higher madrega? But the answer is, Tosfos explains, because somebody who's commanded to do a mitzvah, somebody who's obligated to do a mitzvah, there's the Yetzer Hara who is standing in his way, preventing him from doing the mitzvah. So says the Oruch Yisharim, if that's the case, when somebody does a mitzvah and he swears to do a mitzvah, so now there's a double Yetzer Hara, there's a doubly strong Yetzer Hara preventing him from doing the mitzvah. His initial obligation that he has to do the mitzvah, and the shvua that now obligates him to do the mitzvah. That's what Rav Gidla Marav is teaching us. That even though we should maybe suggest that such a person should not do a mitzvah, because such a person should not make a shvua, because he's just strengthening the Yetzer Hara to prevent, who will stand in his way from doing the mitzvah. That's what the Gemara is teaching. That's what Rav Gidla Marav is teaching us, that under the proper circumstances, which we will, in Mitzvah Shem, discuss, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, and today's shir, the halacha is that he's allowed to make that shvua. The pasuk says, Maitzis v'secha tishma, v'sisa kashenadat l'Hashem l'kecha, the dova ashdibarta b'pficha. And the Kedushas Yontif asks that this pasuk is very repetitive. Moitzis v'secha, tishmar, v'sisa kasha dibarta. The pasuk speaks about a nether. The pasuk speaks about a nedava. What is the Torah trying to teach us with this lengthy pasuk? So he explains that every person has moments of inspiration to learn Torah, moments of inspiration to do mitzvahs. When those moments come, the Yetzer Hara goes into full mode to prevent the person from doing this mitzvah. Tells us the Torah that when you have that moment of inspiration, what you should do is that what you should do at that moment is nishbati v'kaima lishmish b'tzitzdecha. If you at this moment had this moment of inspiration, take that moment of inspiration and make a shvua and strengthen yourself that you'll do the mitzvah. Why? Because once you made the shvua and it becomes a neder and becomes an adava, so now it becomes much, people are careful to keep their word, and therefore it will become much more difficult for somebody not to take that moment and use it as a moment to move forward to doing what he's supposed to do. And he says, that's pshat, that Klal Yisrael, as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu approached them to be mekabel the Torah, they right away said, Na'aseh v'nishma. Why? Because as soon as they had that moment, that they realized now is the time that we can grow in Avodas Hashem, they made a declaration and they made a pledge to keep the Torah. And therefore, even if there will come moments later where they're not that strong, they already have that obligation. And that's, he says, is pshat in the pasuk. Maitis v'secha tishma v'seisa kashen libarta. When you made that neder, you were at a moment that you were very enthusiastic about the mitzvah, and the davta and the darta beficha, and therefore what you said at that moment became an obligation that remains with you even later when that initial inspiration is no longer there. And here again, the Torah is teaching us, the Gemara, Rav Gidl HaMarav, is teaching us, Menayim L'shbayin HaMitzvah. And I saw that the Ben Ish Chai explains that the question here was, Nishbati Kedeshe Nishbati. He explains that the Pasuk means to say, I made this nether, the reason I made this nether is l'kai mitzvah deris ha'asecha, because I only did it in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvah properly. Another question that I saw the Mefarshim ask, that the question is that Rav Shlomo Kluger and others in the Sefer Nedarim Rizim and others ask that David HaMelech, at his point, when David HaMelech, why did David HaMelech have to make such a shvua? David HaMelech is the one that says this pasuk in Tehillim. So that Rav Shlomo Kluger explains that at the point we know the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says that originally Klal Yisrael only were makabel the Torah ba'oinus. They were forced into being makabel the Torah. Later on in the time of Achashverosh is when they accepted it b'rotzen. So David HaMelech lived in a world where they were fulfilling the Torah only out of something that they were forced to do. And therefore, David HaMelech wanted that it should become, he wanted to express that he was doing it not because he was forced into doing it, but he was doing it because he genuinely wanted to do it. Another pshat that I saw is David HaMelech, in the time of David HaMelech, they did not yet have all the Rabbanans and that are Gedorim and Siyogim that help us properly fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem. And that's why David HaMelech felt that without those Rabbanans that we always have that push us to fulfill the mitzvahs properly, the only way he could do the mitzvahs properly is by making a shvua to do the mitzvah properly. But ask the Gemara, why, how could that shvua be considered a valid shvua? We're obligated to fulfill the mitzvahs already. And the halacha is, the Torah, when it speaks about shvua, says, "Oy nefesh ki shishava levatis v'sosayim lahara le'etiv." Only something which I'm not obligated to do, or only something which I'm not obligated not to do, if I make a shvua that I'm going to eat when I'm not obligated to eat, or I make a shvua that I'm not going to eat when I'm not obligated to fast. In all these cases, the shvua is considered a valid shvua. But if I make a shvua about something that I'm obligated to do, then it's not a valid shvua. So why would this shvua be considered a valid shvua? And in fact, there are many Rishonim that suggest that the Gemara's question is not specifically on Rav Gidl or Merav. The Gemara's question is on David HaMelech. That David HaMelech said, Nishbati v'kaima lishba mishpatei tzekecha, and the question is that how could a David HaMelech made such a statement? How could the shvua be valid? I saw the many Rishonim that compare this type of a situation where you make a shvua on something that you're already obligated to do, similar to, we know there's a concept in halacha of ein esachal alisser, and this too is considered like ein esachal alisser. You already have a shvua, but I did see that David HaMelech perhaps was speaking about, and that's what the Gemara is going to be explaining in a moment, that David HaMelech was perhaps speaking about mitzvahs that we're not obligated to do. And that's why David HaMelech's shvua perhaps was considered a valid shvua. But the question of the Gemara here is, how could Rav Gidl HaMarav make a blanket statement that any shvua that you make is a valid shvua when we're already mushba v'oymed? Says the Gemara, Elokim Mashmalon, why did Rav Gidl HaMarav come to teach us? The Sharle Le'inish Lezruze Nafshe. If a person sees that he is getting weak and he's concerned that he won't fulfill, they won't do what he's supposed to do. But if he makes a shvua, that will get him to do what he's supposed to do. That's what's considered, that is considered commendable. And as Tosfos points out, that the chiddush of a gidla merav is that even though a typical shvua has with it a shem shemayim, you mention Hashem's name, it's not considered shem shemayim levatola. Because since you're doing it to get yourself to do what you're supposed to do, that's not considered being moitzi shem shemayim levatola. That's not going to be considered that you made a shvua shav. Because on the contrary, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do what's right and to do whatever is, and to do whatever necessary to do what's right. So our Gemara just taught us this concept, which we will have, a Mujbe V'Oyim V'Har Sinai. Somebody is, we are all already obligated to do what we're supposed to do. And I saw that the Sefer Chashuk Echemet has very interesting discussion. He says there's someone who has the ability to help someone be released from jail. But he knows that this person who he's trying to help be released from jail is a person who is not a Shomer Torah mitzvahs. And if he'll be released from jail, he won't keep Torah Mishpacha. And the question is, should we still try to fulfill, to get him to do it, to try to get him out of jail or not? And one of the questions he discusses is perhaps we should make this person swear that he's going to live a religious life. But the answer he gives is that if this person is an irreligious person, getting him to make a shvua that he's going to do what's right isn't necessarily going to cause him to start living the way he's supposed to live. He'll just violate the shvua. And if he'll violate the shvua, we've only compounded the issue. And therefore, he suggests, if we see that the person, when he makes this shvua, is sincere about what he's saying, then maybe we should do what we can to help him be released from jail. But if it's not that way, of course, we're not talking in a situation where the person is in danger in jail, then the halacha is that we have to consider what are the repercussions of what we're doing by helping him leave jail. Says the Marvam of Gidla Marav, somebody makes a shvua that Ashkim ve'eshna perek zu, I'm going to get up and learn this perek, eshna mesechta zu, I'm going to learn this mesechta, neder godlo nodol el kei Yisrael. This individual is considered as if he made a very important neder. So the Mefarshim discuss that our Gemara said that this person who made the shvua that is that he's going to learn, why is it not considered that he's already mechuyif to learn? As we're going to learn, he's already, what's the chi, that if he's going to make a neder, he's already obligated to learn Torah. So ask the Gemara, so v'aloi mujva aymerhu, he's already obligated to learn, v'ein shvuch al shvuah, so why is it considered a valid shvuah? Says the Gemara, my kamashvon, that filas ruzi ba'alma, what are you going to tell me, that why is he allowed to make a shvuah? Because he's making the shvuah to encourage himself to learn, he's concerned that if he won't make the shvuah, he won't learn. But ask the Gemara, that halacha, we've already learned from a Gittel Kamaisa, from the first halacha of Gittel taught us in today's shir, that if you make a shvua because you realize that that's the way you're going to do what's right, then that's 100% commendable. Answers the Gemara, Kokamashman. Kim di boy pata nafshe, the shvua that he's obligated to, the shvua that he's going to learn is considered a good shvua. Aye, he has a chiv to learn. Says the Gemara, that chiv he could take care of b'krishma shachas v'arvis by saying krishma in the morning and the evening, because the Torah says v'shinantel v'necho v'shapcho v'kumecho v'shem hachi, so he already fulfilled the mitzvah of learning. That's why the Rav Gittel is telling us that this is not considered a situation of mujbe v'oymed, and since it's not considered a situation of mujbe v'oymed, that's why chay l'shvua le, the shvua is considered, the shvua is considered a valid shvua. So our Gemara is teaching us that learning Torah is not, you could fulfill with Mekayim the mitzvah, and that's why it is considered a valid shvua. The Rashash asks, why would the Gemara in the Havamina assume that this is Moshe V'Oimid? You could be Mekayim Limana Torah with any perik, with any Mesechta. So when somebody undertakes with a shvua that he's going to learn, as the Gemara just said, a certain perik or a certain Mesechta, it certainly should be considered a valid shvua, because he's not obligated to specifically learn that perik. He's not obligated to specifically learn that Mesechta. So Dibris Moshe responds, or Moshe explains, that not only does a person have an achiev to learn Torah, a person has an obligation to know the entire Torah, He says, that's pshat, what we say in Krishma, v'shinantam v'necho, and the Gemara Masechta Kedushin explains, what does that mean? Shtei divrei Torah mechudadim v'ficha. You have to know kol Torah kula. Another way Rav Moshe says we know that a person is obligated to know kol Torah kula, because the pasuk says, hisham lecha pantishkach hadvarim. A person has to be careful. He has to know the entire Torah. So, explains Rav Moshe that since he's mechuyev to know the whole Torah, when somebody makes a shvua that he's going to learn a certain perek, or he's going to learn a certain mesechta, so that is a shvua that is on something that he's already obligated. Teaches us the Gemara that he could fulfill that basic obligation. The basic obligation is fulfilled with saying Krishma in the morning and the evening. Of course, explains the Ran, that a Jew has a chiv to learn Torah all the time. But the chiv of a Jew to learn Torah all the time is not something that's said explicitly in the Pasuk. And since it's not said something explicitly in the Pasuk, explains the Ran, that's why it's not considered. That's why it's not considered Mujbe V'Oimed. So I saw that the Ben Ish Chai explains, why does the Gemara say, Neder Godel, Neder L'Elokei Yisrael? So he explains that what the Gemara means to say is that the person didn't just say he's going to learn. The person said that, Ashkim, I'm going to get up early to learn. The fact that he didn't just obligate himself to learn, but the fact that he said that my learning is going to come with a lot of effort, Ashkim, I'm going to get up early in the morning, even though it's maybe hard. And the Ben Ish Chai goes on to say, what he also means to say with this shvua is that normally somebody obligates himself to learn, and he says, I'm going to finish this mesechta by a certain time. And for whatever reason, today he is unable to learn his shiur. So he says, okay, today I couldn't learn my shiur, so I'll learn tomorrow to make up what I missed today. What the Gemara is saying is that Ashkim, what this person was, that he'll get up and learn every day and won't just say that tomorrow I'll do what I had to do today. But Ashkim, that the fact that I went out of my way to learn, that is, says Ben Ish Chai, is what makes this shvua, why the Gemara says, Neder Godel, Neder L'Elokei Yisrael. The Sefer Maras and Igra asks a question. If we're learning in our Gemara this new concept of Neder Godel, of Moshe V'Oimed, and all of us are obligated to fulfill all the mitzvahs because we have this obligation that we have from Har Sinai. So why, if somebody, Chas V'Shalom, does an Aveira, as the Marav Sinigra, besides whatever punishment comes for the violation of an Aveira, he should also be over every time he does an Aveira, Bal Yachal, because he violated the Shvua. Says the Sefer Marav Sinigra, and that's something that is a fundamental concept to what we've been learning in our shiurim, that a shvua, there's two elements to a shvua. There's, of course, Moshe V'Oimed, that we all have a shvua. But all the halachas of bal yachal and the kabbonis that you bring on a violation is only if the shvu was expressed, as we keep on learning in our shurim, in the proper manner how a shvu is supposed to be expressed. And this person learned, this person didn't express the shvua the way the shvua is supposed to be expressed in order that it should be considered a shvua that you're over. So it's considered you're over the shvua, but you wouldn't get the lav and you wouldn't get the malchus for bal yachal. The Kotzker explains, what does the Gemara mean when it says, esh de perig zeh, esh de mesech de zeh? He says that every person, we daven, the same chalkeinu b'sayr esecha, that every person has a certain share in the Torah, that every person has a portion in the Torah. If a person makes a shvur that I'm going to learn perig zeh, that I'm going to learn mesech de zeh, that is a proof that that is the share of Torah that belongs to him. And since that's the share of Torah that belongs to him, that is an important shvur. Because not only do we all have an obligation, explains the Kotzker, to learn, but we have a particular obligation of a sein chalkeinu b'sayr esecha, to learn the part of the Torah that is meant as our share in the Torah. And that's why this shvur is considered a very important shvur. I saw that the Mefarshim ask, like we've just been explaining, why does he have to learn this perek? So explains the Peshiska Rebbe, if we see that a person makes a shvua to learn a specific perek, that is a proof that that is his share in the Torah. And since it's a proof that it's his share in the Torah, we have a specific obligation to learn that share. Up to the point that the Peshiska discuss, that if somebody made a shvua that he's going to learn every day for an hour, the halacha is, now the question is, and now comes Tisha B'Av, and we know that the halacha is that when somebody, that on Tisha B'Av, one may not learn. So what should he do? On one hand, he has this very important shvua that we've been discussing, that he made, that he's going to learn every day for a certain amount of time. On the other hand, the halacha disallows him. So the Peskim say that even though he has an obligation, even though he took upon himself this obligation to learn every day, the halacha is that he should, if the halacha says not to learn, that is that day, he's a Tisha B'Av an Ovel, he should make up the learning on another day. There's an interesting discussion here in the Sefer Chishuki Chemed, where somebody obligated himself to learn with someone, b'chavrusa, and now this person who obligated himself to learn with that person has a different chavrusa who would be a much better partner for him to learn with. Does he have a right to back out? On one hand, we're learning now how every obligation you take is so important. On the other hand, we're also learning in our shiur today how important there is to learn. So what should he do? So the approach that the Chishuki Chemed takes is we have to see, was it a mekach tos? If when I agreed to accept to learn with you, I thought that you would be a great chavrusa for me, and now I discover that you're not a great chavrusa, maybe the halacha is that it's considered a mekach tos and I could back out. On the other hand, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, Simrei Samach Dalet Sif Aleph, where the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Yesh lo l'odom, l'achzol l'hada achama moil bal bris ha'yosu toiv tzadik. A person who's Baruch Hashem making a bris, he should look for the best moil, he should look for the best tzadik. But, says the Shulchan Aruch, v'mnosna l'achad, if you already ask somebody to be the moil, you already ask somebody to be the tzadik, also l'achzabai. Miu im chazaboy, you shouldn't back off what you asked. But if you did, the Shulchan Aruch says have a chazara, and the Taz says that if I ask somebody to be a moil, and then somebody else comes to town who is a greater, better moil, a bigger tzaddik than the original moil, and it's obvious that when I ask the first person. I only ask the first person because that other person wasn't here. But it's obvious, had I known that I would be able to have this other person as the sand or the moil, then I would have done so. The halacha is that we could be, that the halacha says the taz, that I could take a new moil. Suggests the Chashuki Chemed here too. If when I agreed to learn with an individual, the Chavrusa, I only agreed because I didn't know there was another better opportunity. But in a situation where I knew there's another better opportunity, the Taz says that it's obvious I would have never accepted it, then the halacha is that it's considered, maybe I'm allowed to back out, it's considered a mekach tos. Another consideration, discusses the Chashuki Chemin, is not just to look at the what's good for me, and maybe using the other Chavrusa, getting the other Chavrusa would be better for my learning, but I have to also think about what is better for the Chavrusa. And if it's better for the Chavrusa that I should remain with him as the Chavrusa, as his Chavrusa, even though I maybe could do better with the other Chavrusa, since I originally gave my word that I'm going to learn with this person, I may be obligated to do so. So our Gemara just taught us that one can fulfill with the mitzvah of Krishma the obligation of learning Torah. And this opens up an interesting discussion as well. Could one do one mitzvah, and would one mitzvah, would one act fulfill two mitzvahs, which we have here, that the Marsham, the Shas Chuvas Marsham, Chayli Bey Simen Koftes, says from our Gemara, we could see that somebody could fulfill the mitzvah of Krishma and Talmud Torah with one recitation of the Krishma. And the same question comes up, many Paiskim discuss, where somebody was hired to say Kaddish. Somebody lost a relative, there was no one really available to say Kaddish, so they hired somebody to say Kaddish. And now this person who was hired to say Kaddish lost the relative, so he's saying Kaddish for his father, he's saying Kaddish for his mother, and he's also saying Kaddish for the individual who he was hired to say Kaddish. And the Paiskim suggest that based on our Gemara, that the halacha is that one could say Kaddish for more than one person at the same time. Zichron Echad, saying Kaddish for two people, Oyla Lakan or Lakan, and it's going to accomplish whatever the Kaddish has to accomplish. The Paiskim, however, make a very important point. If one wants to use his recitation of Krishma to be yoytze the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so we know that we can't be mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah without saying Birchas Torah first. So the Shas Tshuvas B'Tzelach Chochma, Chelek Aleph Simen Aleph, discusses a situation where somebody woke up late, and it's almost as Zman Krishma. And if he's not going to say Krishma immediately, he's going to miss the Zman Krishma. What should he do as far as Birchas HaTorah? He says such an individual should say Krishma immediately, because in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Krishma, you don't have to say Birchas HaTorah. If you're saying Krishma to fulfill the mitzvah of Krishma, you can fulfill the mitzvah without Birchas HaTorah. You only have to say it if you want to be yoytze the mitzvah Talmud Torah. And therefore, he suggests that he should say Krishma, and I saw Rabbi Yoshev says it as well. He should say Krishma, and then say Birchas HaTorah, and then afterwards he'll learn something to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Also, the Paiskim say that when we speak about the mitzvah of Krishma, the mitzvah of Krishma that you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is with the first two parashas of Krishma. You're fulfilling the mitzvah of Krishma. In other words, the Pais can make a very important point. One, that when we speak in halacha about the Zman Krishma, when we speak about the Zman Krishma, we speak about the first two parashas of Krishma. The third parasha of Krishma, of a Yomer, is a parasha that is not what we mean when we speak about the parasha Krishma. One point. The other point that the Paiskim, Zman Krishma is not regarding Vayomer. The other point is that the mitzvah of Vayomer is also, for saying the parasha of Vayomer, is another way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Krishna. So let's say a person woke up late, and if he doesn't say Krishna immediately, he's going to miss the Zman Krishna. So what he possibly could do is say the first two parashas of Krishna. By saying the first two parashas of Krishna, he will be yotze the mitzvah of Krishna. Then he could say Birchas HaTorah, because he doesn't anymore have the time pressure that he has to say the parasha of Vayomer before the Zman Krishna. And after he says the parasha of Vayomer, and say the Birchas HaTorah, and then say the parasha of Vayomer, so he'll be yotze the mitzvah of Zechirah Chaim by having said the parasha of Vayomer. And he's also going to be yotze the mitzvah of Talmud Torah with saying the parasha of Vayomer. Amar Rav Gidlam Rav, Haimel Chaveiroi, if somebody says to someone else, Nashkev and Nishkev Perek Zeh, tomorrow let's get up and we'll have a Chavrusa, all of Lahashkim, he's obligated to keep his word. And Ran and the Tva point out, what is the Chiddush? If somebody accepted something, he has to obviously do it. So they explain that if I say to you, let's get up tomorrow morning to learn, and you don't say, no, I can't, it's considered as if you accepted upon yourself that obligation. And not only must I get up, but even you have to get up to fulfill that obligation. Shenemar, the Pasuk says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Yecheskel, Kum tsei al bikav shem adabi yisach, and the Pasuk says, V'okam v'eitze al bikav v'hin shem kved shem oimid, that the obligation was kept by both of them. Amar Rav Yosef, Nidu b'chaloyim, if somebody was put into cherim in a dream, the loch is tzarech asar bnei adam lahatalai. He has to find 10 people to release him from that cherim. We have to be concerned that the dream really represents something very serious, that he is in a cherim. As the Rishonim will point out, that every dream has in it an element of a nevuah, and therefore he needs to be concerned. So he has to find tzarech b'nei adam lahatalai. But says the Gemara, who are those 10 people who are qualified to release it from that cherim? The Tanei Helchasa, that they learn Gemara, the people that understand the learning. Ava master v'leitanu, if they only learn Mishnayis, but they don't learn Gemara, they don't learn with the depth that Torah requires, loy. Those aren't the people you should take. Vileka, the Tanei Helchasa. But let's say you can't find people like that. I feel a master of Leitano. If you can't find people who learn Gemara, so at least get people who learned Mishnayis. Vileka. And if you can't even find 10 such people, says there were a lazav approach to Drachim, go sit at the crossroads of the city, the Yav Shalom al Be'ez Sara, and give shalom to 10 people who pass, add the miklalei asar de gamrei lachsa until you find 10 other people who learned. There's an interesting machlokes rishonim. What happens, you try to find those 10 talmid chachamim, but you weren't able to find them. So you found 10 people who will give you shalom. Now, should you still look for the first for 10 people talmid chachamim? Or since you had no choice, the halacha is that since you had no choice, you could rely on that. So I saw that the poskim give a number of eitzes if somebody's concerned but he doesn't want to go and look for people, etc. So I saw that if when you say Shalom Aleichem beKiddush Levana, you turn around, normally we only say Shalom Aleichem to 3 parochim, but let's say you only find, you have this concern, and you want to get this klala off you, so you find 10 people who you by Kiddush Levana, instead of saying Shalom Aleichem just to 3 people, you should say Shalom Aleichem to 10 people. I similarly saw that there's a story where somebody once came to Reb Chaim Brisker on Friday afternoon, and they were concerned that they needed a Yeshua. So he said, it's Friday afternoon, many people go to the mikveh, and since many people go to the mikveh, stand by the door of the mikveh and say Shalom Aleichem to 10 people. And we learned in our Gemara, we're learning in our Gemara the power of Shalom Aleichem. And by having approached those 10 people, you will have accomplished a lot by them responding to you. There's a very big discussion here in the Paiskim in approaching this Gemara. Here the Gemara is giving us reason to be concerned about Nidur B'chaloyim. If somebody was in a cherim in a dream, how should he react? And the question is, how do we view this Gemara? Because on one hand, the Gemara is saying we should take it so seriously, and the Gemara gave us different approaches what to do. On the other hand, we know from different places in Shas that Divrei Chalomis, dreams, Lemalam v'lemaridim, we don't have to take dreams so seriously. I saw a number of such examples that in the Sefer Machzik Bracha, there's somebody who had a dream about smoking on Yontif, and he had a dream that from Shemayim they sent him a message that one may not smoke on Yontif. And the Shas HaTshuvos of Yosef Zatzal and the Shas HaTshuvos Yibiyoy Mechelik Erichayim Chelik Aleph Simon Lamed Gemel discusses this, and he says somebody had a dream that his father left over this money in this place, and it's Maisa money, and the Gemara Masech Tahari says that we don't have to take that seriously. Another, there's a tshuva in the Noida Behuda where somebody had a dream about the kashrus of a certain fish, and we don't take it seriously. Yet in our Gemara, we're seeing how seriously the Gemara takes dreams. So Ritva says, the Ritva already addresses this, and the Ritva in Masechta Tainis, Daf Yud Beis, Amud Beis says, Al pi sh'amr chachamrim, divrei chalamis lo malim v'lo meridim, even though Chazal said we don't have to pay attention to dreams, says the Ritva mekom makom. K'shabalai ha'sairis b'chaloyim al inyanei atzmai. If somebody has a dream and that dream causes him that he should think about his situation, so roi loy lochish ledover emroi atzmai nivel nifchad. The Ritva explains that if somebody sees a dream and he remembers the dream and the dream had made an impression on him, then he has to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly didn't send this message without any reason. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the message with a reason, it's something that he should pay attention to. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Yodaman Shante, somebody, do you remember who put you into Chayrim? If you had a dream that somebody put you into Chayrim, could you go to that person and ask that person to be the one to release you from the Chayrim? Maybe he was appointed to put you into Chayrim, but to release you, he was not the person that put you, that was sent to take you out from Shlichus. What happens if somebody has a dream, he asked him, where he was put into Chayrim, and in the same hand that he had a dream that he was put into Chayrim, he also had a dream that he was released from the Chayrim. Does he have to be concerned? My. Amalei, so he responded, just like it's impossible to have grain without any bad parts, without any bran or peels, kachi efshel chaloyim b'loy dvarim b'talim. Every dream has in it dvarim b'talim. And since every dream has in it dvarim b'talim, we need to be concerned that maybe the part that you saw of you being released is the dvarim b'talim. Says the Maravina, have a lay nidra l'dvisa. His wife had made a neder, which was one of the types of nedarim that a husband can't be matter. Even though we're going to be spending a lot of time discussing that a husband has a right to annul a wife's nedarim, the halacha is that only nidrei inui nefesh does a husband have a right to be made for. And his wife here had a neder which was not idrei inui nefesh. Also kamei Ravashi. So Ravina came to Ravashi and Amalei, Baal mash yasa shlich l'chaturas ishtai. Could a husband be the one to go to the Rav to be matter nether, to say that my wife regrets making the nether? And the Rishonim all point out that the only person the Gemara is discussing is the husband, Because a husband is, there's a concept of ishtoi kegufoi. But there is no question that anyone else, that we don't say ishtoi kegufoi, then we don't say that he could be the shliach to be matan neder. And in fact, I saw Rabbi Yosef Engel in a sefer Beis Ha'Oitzer, says we know throughout Shas there's a concept of ishtoi kegufoi. So says Rabbi Yosef Engel, shouldn't this Gemara be a raya that there's also a concept of bala kegufa? So he says, not necessarily. Even if we don't say bala kegufa, but there certainly is a unique and special relationship between a husband and a wife. And therefore, suggests the Gemara, that maybe that only the husband could be the one to be the shliach to go to the Rav on behalf of his wife. Amalei, so Rav Ashi responded, im mechnefen, if you already have three dayonim sitting together in, then it can be the shliach. Eloi, if you have to gather them together, loi. Why? Because if you're going to, and there's many pshatim, if you're going to have to gather them together, then we're concerned, since you, this is the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, since you had to bother to find them, you're going to embellish to make you, her charata, her regret. Because you're going to want to make sure that the Rabbanim will be matan neder. And of course, it's critical that you say it in the proper way. And since we have to be concerned that you're going to say it the proper way, if you were the one to gather them, we're worried that it won't be presented accurately. Moreover, there are some Rishonim that suggest that always when you need a bezdin to be matan neder, you can't assemble the bezdin. It could only be a bezdin that was assembled there previously. Says the Gemara, Shmamina Tlas. We learn from this three halachas. Shmamina, the halacha that we just discussed, the Baal Nasa Shlich L'Charot HaSishtoi. A husband can be a shlich for his wife being matan neder. The Shmamina L'Shar L'Mishra Nidra Basid Rebbe. A person needs to have, since Ravina didn't. Ravina had a yeshiva, so Ravina could have asked the talmidim in the yeshiva, who in his yeshiva in his home, sit together and be matan neder on behalf of my wife. He didn't do so. The reason he didn't do so is because a person who is a talmid of a rebbe cannot be matan neder where his rebbe is there. Shmamina ki mechnefim shapadami. Only when the person, when the Talmidim are there, when their group is there, as we just explained, but to husband to be gather Rabbanim on behalf of his wife would be Aser. And this is an important halacha. We know that we all on Erev Rosh Hashanah are matan neder, and the proper thing to do, I saw Ramosha Sternbach in the Shalz Chuvis van Hugges in Chelik Aleph Simon Shin Lamed Ches, says that a wife, before Erev Rosh Hashanah, before her husband goes to shul, should ask her husband to be matan neder on her behalf. And he also says that it's appropriate that the husband should say to Rabbanim, I'm being matan neder on behalf of my wife. And when you're being matan my nedarim, you should be also matan the nedarim of my wife. And if, unfortunately, a woman doesn't have a husband, based on what we just learned in our Gemara, that only a husband can be matan neder for a wife, the woman would have to be matan neder herself. She can't rely on a different man who isn't her husband to be matan neder on her behalf. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that the minig of the world, the custom of the world, is that women don't go to be matan neder, and we're not matan neder on their behalf. Women can rely on Kol Nidre, and that's why women do come to shul, to Kol Nidre, because Kol Nidre is also a form of Ataras Nadarim. Ramosha Sternbach in that Shuva also says that we know that when we're Matan Neder, after we're Matan Neder, we say the Nusach, and then the Dayanim respond. The minig is that we're Moise Madar. We make a declaration. We will still speak about that halacha in our shiurim in this masechta. When Moshe Madar, that all the nadarim that we're going to make should be vitalim of vitalim, should all be null and void. So he says, a wife who asked her husband to be matan neder on her behalf, as he suggests should be done, The Mesiris Madar, the wife could do at home by herself. She shouldn't rely on her husband. And he says it's not necessary that the Mesiris Madar should be said in front of a Bezdin. Vishamta, says the Gemara, even though we're being strict that a Talmud cannot be Matan Neder in the place where his Rebbe is the Rav, I feel bad, said the Rebbe. There, because we're so anxious that the Cheirus should be lifted from the person, any Talmud, even though his Rebbe is there, could be matter the, he could take off the, release the Nidui to get this person out of the Nidui as quickly as possible. Moreover, says the Gemara, the Yachid Mumcha, if you have a Rav who's a Yachid Mumcha, he could be matter and nether. You don't need to get a Bezdin. One individual himself could be matter nether. But the Ran explains that that this person has to be a person that has smicha. It doesn't necessarily, I believe, mean the smicha like they had in Eretz Yisrael, but he has to be a recognized Talmud Chacham. Amar Rav Shimon ben Zvid, Amar Rav Yitzchak Tavla, Amar Rav Chiya bar Aricha de Beir Rav Acha, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Belozo, Amar Rav Chanina, Amar Rav Mashi Mishmei de Rav Yehuda, by Eloi Maidik Siv. The Pasuk says in Malachi, V'zorcha lechem yirei shmi. What does that mean? Eile b'nei Adam, it's referring to people, Shein Reim, Shehoitzi Shem Shemayel V'atala. Who is a person that's considered a yirei shem? A person who is careful never to mention Hashem's name in vain. Shem is Tzedakah Merapa, Amar Abaya, Shmamina, Chirga de Yama. The person who is the sun and the dust from the rays of the sun, Masi, what bring her food to, what bring her food to people. And the Mashal explains that the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what the world rests on. And somebody who Chas V'Shalom mentions Hashem's name in vain is destroying the world. And if somebody is careful, he's strengthening the world. And that's why this person, Masi, has the ability to be Merapa Chaylam. So the Mashal says that the Gemara Masechta Basra says, Evan Toiva Haisu Taluya B'Tzavar Shal Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had this wonderful stone around his neck. And call Chayla Harayos or Miyad Misrapa. Anybody who saw that stone would get healthy. And Bishar Shenifta Avraham Avinu Min HaOlam. When Avraham Avinu was Nifter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it into the sun. And that's what he says is Pshat in this Gemara. What this Gemara means to say is the power of that stone still continues to exist. Where does it continue to exist? In that sun. Says the Gemara, Upligi. This is in disagreement. Rabbi Yehuda bar Loi explained the pasuk this way is contrary to what Rav Shimon Alokish explained. Dama en gehenem loyelam haba. He explains that the pasuk is speaking about loyelam haba, where there no longer will be any gehenem. Al Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzeh chamim in atika. Al Kadosh Baruch Hu will take out the sun. Tzadikim misrapim ba. Tzadikim will have a refuah. V'shoinim nidonim ba. Shnema v'zorch lchem yirish mi shemesh. El v'loy oid. El shemes adna ba. They will have joy. Shnema v'yotzam apishtim ke'eglim arabeg v'rishoyim nedonim bar shnema kina yoyim bar 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 katana. The day will come where they will have no Yeshua. Says the Rav Yitzchak Weiss, what is pshat that rishoyim nedonim bar? The rishoyim who spend their entire lives making problems for tzaddikim. And then in Mitzvah Shem Herav Yameinu, when Mashiach comes, we'll see what a wonderful life the tzaddikim have. That to them will be their biggest punishment. Seeing that tzaddikim are able to have a wonderful life and them just the opposite, that's going to be their biggest punishment. Another pshat that I saw from the Baal Shem is what's going to happen when Olam Haba comes. In Olam Haba, people are going to be sitting and learning and doing mitzvahs. So people who spent their lives living that way, so that's the greatest enjoyment, that now they're going to have Olam Haba, and they could spend their days doing mitzvahs and learning Torah. But Rishayim, who never enjoyed doing a mitzvah, Rishayim who never enjoyed learning Torah, so the biggest Gehenim that you could give to them is that they won't, that they live in a world that's what everybody does. The Kedushas Levi explain that what does Gan Eden mean? The Gan Eden means that we're able to bask in the glory of the Shekhinah. So people who spent their entire lives trying to be close to the Shekhinah, trying to do what's right and come close to the Shekhinah. And as I saw, the Shem Shmuel explains that in this world, as much as a person tries to come close to the Shekhinah, there are always barriers between us and the Shekhinah. But in the next world, those barriers will all be lifted. And since all those barriers will be lifted, so the tzaddikim, whose entire lives were trying to get close to the Shekhinah, they won't be able to have that in the next world. That next world, that doesn't mean anything to them, to be coming close to the Shekhinah. Another pshat that I saw is that in this world, we learn Torah, we try to understand as best as we can the Torah that we learn, but there's only that much that we can. But every Gemara and every halacha that we learned in this world, when we're going to come to the Olam HaEmes, all those difficult Gemaras and all those shiurim that we maybe didn't understand as well as we would have liked, will have clarity in them in the Olam HaEmes. So the tzaddikim who spent time in this world learning Torah, now in the next world will take those shiurim, review them, and delve into those Gemaras. But the Rishayim who never spent any time in this world learning Torah, they won't have any Torah to review. They won't have any Torah to delve into, and they're going to be sitting there doing nothing, and that will be their Gehenim.